We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And Jack Quinn comes back the other way. Good move. Shoots! It's under the pad and squirts out a can of scores. Jack Quinn sneaks it by Larmy. And Canada's got a 1-0 lead.
Happy Friday, everyone. Getting ready for a nice long holiday weekend, Memorial Day on a Monday. Don't worry, your dial is exactly where it should be on a 550. No Sabres Live or One Bills Live today as we do get ready for a nice holiday weekend. It's just Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt hanging out with you for the next 3 hours, just hanging
out.
We're vibing.
Not the full 3 hours.
Well, you're not here for the full 3 hours. I am.
I have other obligations at 2. I have to go down the hall and do my
job. It's fine. I'm not holding it against you. I haven't sent a strongly worded email to corporate. It's fine.
It's ready. Like your finger's on the send button, but hasn't been sent.
Exactly. I'm waiting to see how your performance is for the next two hours.
Wow.
Before
right.
it's so like, you know what?
This is a tryout. All right.
Welcome in, everyone. It's a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous day outside. Me and Josh got here like an hour ago, and I saw Josh in a hoodie, and I almost fell over.
I grossly underestimated how hot it was today, because I woke up, and I looked at my phone when I got out of the shower at like 8 in the morning, and I'm like, oh, wow, it's like 50 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to wear a hoodie and jeans today.
It was 40 when I left this morning.
Oh, that is horrible.
Yeah. No, that's like September, October weather.
I did bring a hoodie the other night to work when I was leaving, and I didn't need it, but I brought it, so I'm like, I'll put it on as I'm leaving.
As we all get older, it's so funny how we all become our parents. My dad's big thing is I'm forgetting it on the air.
We'll come back to it.
I'll think about it. We'll come back to it.
Had to preheat the car this morning.
Don't say that. That reminds me of November, and we are months away from November. Please don't say that.
Hey, but November means Bills season, so
don't speed through summer. I will lose my mind.
Bonuses and positives.
But that clip Evan played coming back, that's where me and Josh want to start the show tonight. Jack Quinn over at the IIHF World Championships. That's going on in Finland, correct? Or is that goal just against – no, it's in Latvia.
Latvia and Finland, I think.
Latvia and Finland. That goal was against Finland to give Canada the 1-0 lead. We do have the semifinals, though. Germany, the United States, Canada, and the surprise team in Latvia.
Latvia always does this. They just come out of nowhere, and they're good. And the last time they played Canada, I think they upset them. I know they upset Canada a few years ago, but I think that was the last time these two teams played. So that's going to be a really interesting game.
When I think about Latvia, Canada, I think about the 2014 Olympics where Latvia almost upset Canada, and the only NHL player for Latvia was Zemgis Girgensons.
And the coach was Ted Nolan.
Really?
Oh, that's right.
Yep. That's the game I'm talking about. They've definitely played since then, but that's the game I always think of when I see Latvia. I think of Latvia, Canada, when Latvia almost beat Canada, and it was just like that had to have been one of the biggest moments in their hockey history, if not the biggest.
That is crazy. I forgot Ted Nolan was the coach of that team. I completely forgot about that.
I was always so confused because I thought you had to be from that country or be like a citizen in that country to coach the country. But I guess not.
No, because it's the same with soccer, where like they'll just hire the best people.
They don't even care. Jurgen Klinsmann was German. Yeah.
Right. I mean, they really don't care. Now, with that being said, though, talking about the young Sabres, that's actually kind of the funny thing, is that the Sabres are not playing anymore. They did not make the playoffs this year. We've all kind of talked about it. We've talked about the Florida Panthers' run to the Cup final and how the Sabres were, you know, one win away from that. They could have been there.
but every young Sabre seemingly is playing, and most of them are playing really, really well.
Right.
Either
right.
in Rochester, Matthew Savoy, before being called up, was playing incredibly well for the Winnipeg Ice, going all the way to the his junior finals, and then just all these guys in the IIHF, five guys
yep.
are up for medals that will begin Saturday.
To be honest, I think all five will win a medal.
Well, yeah, the likely team that will not win one is Latvia.
Right. Here's how it breaks down. USA and Germany play tomorrow at 6:30 American, or 6:30, I think, Eastern time.
Is that AM, right?
No, 6:30 at, No, I'm reading the wrong time. Yeah. 6:30 Latvia time, 11:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Love it.
Canada-Latvia plays 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, so a little bit of an early game there. I don't think I'll be up for the whole game, but
I know I won't. I will see the highlights when I get up. That's and well, I'm fine with that.
We will be here tomorrow morning.
We will. I was going to say this is kind of a preview to tomorrow's Sports Talk Saturday.
Right. So, but like I said, so Germany and America play at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. Canada Latvia at 7:30 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. So the theory is here. Obviously, one of USA or Germany is going to lose, but Tuck is on USA, Paterka is on Germany. And then Canada has Jack Quinn, Devin Levi, and Peyton Krebs.
I feel like Devin Levi should be put in quotations now, which has been really disappointing. But you're right,
we're going to get there. But so my whole thought process is yes, all of them will win a medal, because no offense to Latvia, I don't think they're going to beat Canada.
Look, the best part about Cinderella stories is that midnight strikes.
You know what?
That you don't win.
You're right.
That's the best part about Cinderella stories.
Right. So, and then obviously they'll play one of USA or Germany, and Germany has looked fantastic thanks to JJ Paterka.
On fire. Is it John Paterka now? Like
website, it says John. All the tweets have said John.
I feel like we're going to get an announcement like near October where it's like, hey, everyone, by the way, it's not JJ Paterka it's John Paterka.
We're going to have a training camp interview, and someone's going to ask him the question of, you know, what's going on with your name? And he's just not going to know how to answer it. And he's just going to say, my name's John. And that's going to
make
me
so mad.
I love JJ. I think JJ was so close.
I already kind of know going into next year that, like, because I do this thing with some of the Sabres players, like Dylan Cousins will fight a polar bear if it looks at his teammate wrong,
right.
stuff
and
like that.
He will.
And JJ Paterka was going to be that guy that, like, every time he scored, I was going to, like, full on spell out John Jason.
Yeah.
And, like, not Paterka, just John Jason looks amazing. Like, just for like, you know, just to have fun with it. And now if he does this, it's going to absolutely just destroy all of my plans, and I won't like him anymore.
All right, that's a little
And he's
strong.
One of my favorite players.
That's
and
a
it's,
little
and I'm
strong.
Like, and I'm like, I'm out.
The
I'm
not
out.
Liking him anymore is a little strong, considering he has 10 points in 8 games for Germany, 5 goals, 5 assists. And he's been doing it alongside a former Sabre who was here for, like,
a cup of coffee. Let's be serious.
17 games, yeah. I think it was. Dominic Cahoon.
Who did the Sabres end up trading to get him?
It was Connor Sheary at the deadline. Sheary for Cahoon and I think a third. And it was the...
I thought it was Rodriguez.
Maybe it was Rodriguez. No. Yeah, it was Rodriguez.
It was Rodriguez.
Because Sheary left in free agency. It was Rodriguez to Pittsburgh for Cahoon and a third. And then he played great. He had great numbers.
I was so excited about him.
And then they just didn't sign
it was Connor Sheary and Evan Rodriguez for Cahoon.
Oh.
And then, that's what it was.
Both of them.
So we were both right.
Yeah, in a way, we were both right. But and then Sheary left Pittsburgh to sign with Washington. That's what it was.
Yes, there you go.
But regardless, Dominic Cahoon and JJ Paterka have been doing great things for Team Germany. And I, for one, am not against bringing Dominic Cahoon back, but I don't know where he would go on the roster, to be honest with you.
I don't either. And to be honest, I don't even think he really fits like the age group of
a guy
that we don't really know where he'd go. He's 27.
Right. I mean, he's still a good player. It's just I think, honestly, he'll end up in an NHL team. But I think so.
I would say so, too.
Like you said, he's too old to like fit this mold.
Which is weird to say about a 27-year-old.
Right.
But I think outside of like maybe if you want to add like a goaltender on this team, like it's going to be a lot of young guys. It's also going to be guys, and this is kind of what our first real topic of today is going to be, is the young Sabres core, and who is actually going to be here when they do make that step forward. Because it seems like all of them are playing well, all of them are taking huge steps forward, and one of these guys, maybe even more, are going to be a part of a big swing trade to really put the Sabres over the top. I think they're a lot closer than a lot of people. I've been one to have said it for the past few weeks, maybe even months now, that I think they're absolutely going to make the playoffs next year. I'm not even really concerned. I'm just going to enjoy the ride for them breaking the drought. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Which is maybe not a safe spot to be
in. No, it's at this point, I think it's warranted. I think it's a...
Well, that's the worst part, is I know, because we've had these conversations, and like, I know where you sit on it, so it's like, we're both there.
See, I'm all in on just get there, break the drought, do it, just get it over with, please.
Yeah.
It's been 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, just
please, do it.
But at the same time, I don't want to see them get swept in the first round by Toronto.
Oh, real quick, actually, on the young guys, the Amarks did tweet out about 10 minutes ago that MSG will extend its broadcast coverage for the duration of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Hershey Bears, which it was expected.
Yes.
It was expected. I do know, though, from having a few conversations with people, though, they were like, why did they just announce game one and two?
They definitely wanted to see.
They wanted to see if people were actually interested.
Yeah.
If
I could have put on multiple TVs, I would have. I would have just put it on every TV I could have.
Just to make sure that it was still going.
Just so that the ratings would go up.
I've had a lot of fun with keeping up with the Americans, and I've been talking about it on the nightcap as well, of just like, I haven't really been able to watch the games. I don't have AHL TV or anything like that, so
right.
I've been pretty much using our own local reporters who've been covering them and get videos and or just tweets about like the scoreline and what's going on there.
Or even just the team's Twitter account when they tweet out a highlight.
Yeah, that's how I've been doing it, but just, you look at guys like Jiří Kulik. Rochester did lose last night, so that series is tied one game apiece.
They should not. The goalie for Hershey, his last name is Shepard.
He played so well.
There should have been 5 goals in the first 2 periods, and Kulich should have had 4 of them. I mean, they were on fire. They were all over them. But to be honest, in the first 2 games, I mean, obviously it didn't work the first game for Hershey as the Amherst won, what, 5? What was 5-1?
Yeah, I think 5-1, yeah.
And it worked last night. They're a very physical team. They are very... in your face, we're gonna
smack you around,
get around,
like, yeah.
We're gonna get in the dirty areas where you won't go, and you're not gonna have a net front presence because we're gonna push you off the net front presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they played last night, but it worked last night. The first game, the Amherst came out with so much speed that they just outskated them. But I think maybe they were a little tired, maybe it just wasn't working. But they also had, like I said, they had a great goalie backing them up, so.
I think that's the thing for me.
Everything was clicking for Hershey last night, and I think with the way they looked, the way that the Amherst still played, I think they're going to be fine in games 3 and 4.
It is definitely one of those performances where you leave going, we lost, but I don't really think we played poorly.
Right. It's not like the other team beat you.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't have a
flaw. Got goal lead.
And
you couldn't get anything going.
Maybe the second goal should have been a save on Subban there. He came off the post a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do? You're screened by 3 guys, and it's whatever. Same with the first goal was through a screen, too. So it's like you can't really say, like, oh, like you did this wrong or you did that wrong. No, you just got outplayed.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think it's going to be fine for them in games 3 and 4, especially in Rochester. Looks like a sellout crowd for both games.
I know for a fact game 3 is sold out because I tweeted yesterday that if Rochester would win, it's going to be really tough for me to not leave us doing our show tomorrow and go to Rochester.
Yeah.
And I got a DM from somebody basically being like, it's actually sold out, which
and
was really rude. I didn't need my day ruined like that.
Monday's game 4 is like there's probably like 100 seats left, if that.
And good chance that they won't be there anymore. But so on that, Matthew Savoy gets called up, which a lot of us saw him get called up over the weekend, and that was kind of are we going to see him play? How long is it going to take if we even do? Coach Seth Appert, the head coach of the Rochester Americans, did pretty much confirm after like 2 days of him being there that, hey, he's here to play. He's not here to just kind of hang out with the guys and see Rochester, ultimately
right.
A team that I don't think he actually can ever go to. Unless
I think
he has to run out of eligibility. For
I read
juniors,
a thing
right?
that there's a chance that he might not be eligible, or like he might be eligible for the AHL next year because he played in the USHL during the COVID season.
Oh, okay.
So it's the USHL is like the WHL. It's just kind of a step. It's like a half step below.
Okay.
But it's still considered junior hockey, I think.
Mm.
So it's a weird paperwork thing that I think is going to get sorted out as the summer goes on.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be against him going back to the WHL, but at the same time, I think
I feel like it's kind of expected that he's going to go back to the WHL.
I think he should be in Rochester.
That's the dream.
I think he should be, because you can look at a guy going to the WHL putting up 130 points. It's like, wow. It's like, yeah, but it's his draft year plus two.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like he's expected to do that. But I don't know. I think it'd be very beneficial if he went to Rochester, but I understand if he can't. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to rush him to the NHL, because there might not even be a spot for him yet. So,
and that's the crazy part, is that, you know, right. 15 months ago, if we had talked about this, that there was absolutely a spot for Savoy to come right up. There was no problems. Even mocking Savoy to the Sabres before his even draft class, it was kind of one of those, like, he'll probably spend a year in juniors, and then he's right up. And now mm-hmm. it is one of those where I don't even think you're being ridiculous by saying that he probably will spend another year in juniors, that really maybe the only rookie that comes up next year is Yuri Kulik. And that's mainly and it's also a lot of it, his second half performance in Rochester. His first half was kind of more getting, you know, essentially his sea legs underneath him, of just mm-hmm. like knowing what to do, playing with grown men, career AHLers, and guys that know how to play in that league. I mean, now he's dominant. I mean, we saw last night, didn't score a goal, had like five chances.
First time he hasn't scored this whole playoffs.
He did not score in game one. He did get a point, though.
Well, first time he hasn't gotten a point. I'm sorry.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
Because he had 7 points in 7 playoff games, and now that was his eighth. Didn't get a point.
I mean, he has been an exceptional talent. And that's ultimately, we're taking your calls at 803-0550. Which of these young guys do you actually think won't be on the roster now in a few years? And we're not even just counting the prospects like Savoy, Kulik, Osland, Isaac Roseanne as well as on Rochester. I guess we'd also probably count Devin Levi's as a prospect as well. He only got like 7 games with Buffalo last year.
7 games, exactly.
But this also obviously goes to guys like Jack Quinn, J.J. Paterka, Casey Mittelstadt. I think I would probably still put Casey Mittelstadt as one of those young guys.
Peyton Krebs.
Peyton Krebs is another one as well. Which of these guys is not going to be here? Because I do think we're getting to a point, they have so much young forward talent, and they're all looking pretty darn good, that eventually one of these guys is going to get dealt for maybe a really good defenseman, or just, hey, we need this veteran, you know, playoff style forward. That's where, you know, that's where it's going to be. You know, who's it going to, like, and that's the tough part too, is, and Josh, me and you have talked about this too, this team is so likable.
Right, you don't want to see anyone go.
I don't want to see any of these guys go.
Like, I'm looking at Cap Friendly right now. Tyson Yost,
mm-hmm.
waiver claim, fantastic player.
Pretty much so unlocked good. Casey Mittelstadt last year.
25 years old. He's an RFA this year. They have his rights, but will they sign him? It's not that will they be able to.
Yeah.
It's, is there a spot for him?
And that's going to be the question for a lot of these guys.
And that. The signing of Kyle Okposo the other day mm-hmm. made a big question mark. Not because should they have signed him, but it's okay, you've signed him, which was expected.
And this is where I've kind of been a little leery on Okposo being back. You're not paying him $2.5 million for a year to just sit in the press box.
You're paying him $2.5 million to not only be a part of the team on the ice, but be a major part of the team off the ice.
Oh yeah,
that's how I've looked, and that's not to say he's not going to contribute on the ice, because he absolutely will. But I think he'll be more of a, like, this is a locker room kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he is important for this team. He's important for the young core of this team, and that's, I'm happy they brought him back. But now it's like, okay, you have Rusek, you have Kulik, you have Savoy, you have all these guys ready to come up. And now you're almost creating a logjam where it's like somebody's going to have to sit. Somebody like Okposo, somebody, if they sign Gergensen's, somebody like him, they're going to have to.
We're going to have real conversations if they re-sign Gergensen's. I am not a complete fan of bringing the entire group back.
Right. And don't forget, Jordan Greenway's also there for mm-hmm. another 2 years.
Which is somebody that Granato really loves.
But it's great. I'm happy with all these people. It's just you have to figure out who's going to fit where and when, because you don't want to have your guys in Rochester or the juniors get stagnant.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to waste your assets in guys like Okposo, Gergensen's, Greenway, Yost, Krebs, Mittelstadt. You don't want to waste those guys that are here now under mm-hmm. contract.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phones. We've got Lou in Rochester hanging on. Lou, welcome to the show, my friend. How are we doing today?
Hi, pretty well, thanks. Interesting discussion. I'm not in favor of Okposo signing for the reasons that you just stated. I don't really understand it. It's aggressive. Mm-hmm. As for Kulik, I've seen a few games from him. He's clearly an NHL player. he'll be in the NHL next year with the Sabres. I haven't seen Sevoy play yet. Rosen is really impressive. He's come on exceptionally well. He's super smart. He'll be with the Sabres too. So signing Okposo and Gergensen, kind of going backwards, what I'm thinking. And the most likely trade base of the prospects would likely be Krebs in my mind, because his upside seems limited now after playing for a couple of years, although I like the player.
All right, yeah, Lou, thanks for the call, my man. And me and you were talking about it. Krebs does feel like potentially that guy.
Unfortunately.
Really like him. When he was traded from Vegas in the Eichel trade, he was actually initially the big piece there.
Right.
Tuck was going to just come in, and look, he's going to fill the lineup, you know, so that you've got NHLers. But Krebs is going to be the guy. When you get him, he's got all the potential.
I still remember, after seeing Vegas the first couple years in the league, I was a big fan of Vegas in the first two or three years.
Yeah.
And I've kind of fallen off, not just because Jack Eichel, but just because they're...
Well, they sell their soul to win games.
Right. Yeah, I don't like that. But it fits the Vegas vibe. Because it's Vegas.
Look, I'm all for Vegas being the villain of the league. Right. I actually don't really like that they've kind of like... I don't want to say softened. Yeah, but they've backed off a little bit.
But
I kind of wish they kept leaning in, like with Dadonoff last year, where they were trying to trade him.
And he was like, guys, what are we doing?
Like, I have a no trade clause. And they're like, shh, we're going to trade you. Stop. Like, just chill out. And like, I enjoyed that, like, as awful as that sounds. But it's because I think there needs to be villains. And Vegas seemingly embraced that role, which is...
It was Tampa for a little bit.
But a lot of teams seem to, like, steer away from that. And even and I'm saying that even if like the Bills or Sabres became villains, I'd be all for it.
Yeah.
Just don't
after all these years of like of being put down, and it's like, yeah, no, this is our league now.
Yeah.
Like you're going to do what
we
do.
Now my thing is, don't cheat.
Well, what do you, yeah, yeah.
But there's, like there's but if limits. Everyone hates because you're winning or because you've kind of got an arrogance to you,
yeah,
I'm all for it. Right. I really like that.
But my point was, though, is when I was watching Vegas in the very beginning, I loved watching Alex Tuck. He was just such a dynamic player with that team. And then I found out he was from here. I didn't even know he was from here until I started watching him on Vegas. And I'm like, yeah, pipe dream, Sabres need to get him.
Pipe dream.
Thinking it would never happen because he's so good for Vegas. And then they drafted Krebs, and I wanted the Sabres to draft Krebs the year he was drafted. I thought he was a great player, and he was super, you know, like another dynamic player. Like, not in the same way as Tuck, but just – a really good player.
I mean, his passing ability is spectacular.
Right, and it was just so funny when that trade happened, because I was like, wow, the two guys that I thought the Sabres could never, ever, or anyone for that matter, could ever get away from Vegas are both on our team now. And that's cool.
And especially, I think as well, for at least on the Tuck point too, he gets to Buffalo and is, I think without a doubt, playing his best hockey.
Yes, 100%.
I mean, 36 goals last year. He played 74 games and really got hurt at the end of the end of the year. When he was really, when it looked like, oh, he's going to be a 40-goal scorer, you know, his second year in Buffalo, really, you know, his first full year in Buffalo.
Yeah, because, I mean, his first actual year, he was hurt for most of the season, only was able to play 50 games, 38 points in 50 games, though.
Yeah,
so that's fantastic.
Tuck has been exceptional for the Sabres since being here. The one that hurts is Peyton Krebs. Now, ultimately, when the Eichel trade went down, and I think there's a reason why a lot of Sabres fans, at least from what I've heard, you know, if you disagree, you know, always call in 803-0550, give us your thoughts. The transition of the Sabres to where they are, when they first traded Eichel to now, is night and day. Mm-hmm. Because it really was like, no, Krebs is going to be the, like, we're hoping Krebs is the guy. You know, Dylan Cousins looks super fun, but we're still not sure there. Dahlin, we haven't seen the greatness yet. Owen Power's here, though. That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Yep. And now it is just night and day of like just how talented the young prospects are. And that's where I do feel bad for Krebs, because he's 22 years old, but has yet to have really that moment that I think a lot of these other young guys have. Kulik, you know, the World Juniors, now, you know, in Rochester as well, just he's been exceptional. Savoy, his entire career in the juniors, he just keeps scoring 90-plus point seasons. And, you know, Dylan Cousins is a 31-goal scorer on a rookie line. Paterka and Quinn both.
Yeah.
Just look, Quinn last year with the AHL team having one of the greatest seasons we've seen in the last 25 years in the AHL. Paterka just, I think, being just overall how skillful he is in the playoffs last year for Rochester. Krebs is really the guy that hasn't had that moment yet to kind of break out.
Well, and I think it's also been how he's utilized. And it's not necessarily that Don Granato is using him wrong, But it's just – it's where he slots into the lineup in that third line, fourth line role. It's not really viewed as a high power scoring role.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's – he's – like I said, they're not using him wrong, but they're using him the best that they can.
Yeah, I think so.
If that makes sense.
Before we hit our first time out, let's go to Bill in Toronto who wants to join the show. Bill, welcome to the programming, my friend. How are we doing today? Bill, we got you? Well, sorry about that, Bill. We got a little bit of a bad connection there. Hopefully we can reconnect. We are going to take a quick timeout, though. Coming up in about a half hour, Matt Perino of Sabres.com and host of the Shout Podcast will join the show. Bill's OTAs began this week. We've had some interesting developments over there. We'll talk about that with Matt coming up at 1 p.m. We'll take a quick time out here, though. You're listening to WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, we can't be scared of the expectation. There's going to be expectations next year. You guys know it. Last year, there was no expectations. And, you know, everybody's writing rosy articles and, you know, this group is a good team. It's becoming a good team. And that's great. But how do you do that with expectations? There's guys that are starting to get bigger contracts. There's guys that are starting to get noticed nationally. There's going to be lofty expectations next year.
Sabres captain Kyle Okposo earlier this week after signing his one-year, $2.5 million deal to stay with the Sabres. Josh, did you listen to most of the press conference? I was able to hear like a good 6 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
It was about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I saw bits. I heard bits and pieces. The way he talks, he just seems like he's going to be like one of those guys that sticks around and becomes a coach or a front office member. We obviously don't know, but like just – the way he loves the city and the way he loves the team, I could totally see that happening. Even
it would make sense.
Like Mike Weber and Mike Pekka are down in Rochester, mm-hmm. where they just stuck around the area and now they're in the organization, you know? And I love it. It's great. Because like I said before, he has that presence of like he's almost like the locker room dad. Where it's like he's.
I mean, that's
young
that's
guys.
Become. I want to say his nickname, but it is his role on the team as well.
It's the antics whenever there's kids day with his kids coming in and doing all the stuff, which is great. I love it, but it's just I have a feeling that whenever he does decide to call it quits, I have a feeling we could see him somewhere. This is just me thinking out loud here, but who knows? You never know what a guy's going to do when he retires.
Well, there are some former Sabres that are GMs. Danny Briere is
Danny
the newest
Briere,
one,
Chris
of course.
Stewart. I don't think he'd be a GM, but I think he'd just be involved in.
I can definitely see it. And the way he talked about Buffalo, he seems to really love it here, which is great to hear because not that long ago, we had people that were literally saying how like they hated the sport of hockey now because of playing in Buffalo. And
I lost my love for the game. Yeah. Ryan O'Reilly, is that you?
But to see that flip has really it's really helped getting back into the team, even with them not making the playoffs, with them being a young team, you kind of have to wait to get the rewards for that. At least has made it easier to kind of to wait a little bit, to be a little bit more patient. We're gonna go to the phones. We've got Bill from Toronto. We tried before the break. We hope we got a better connection here. So Bill, welcome to the show, my friend. How are we doing today?
I'm doing better, and here I am, guys. So
fantastic.
Sorry,
there we go.
Whatever it was. And, yeah, I just want to go back to when you were talking about Tuck and the deal for Eichel there. When Eichel went to Vegas, as soon as I heard Tuck's name in the deal, I was clicking my heels. I loved him, and I actually thought, to be honest with you, he was the key to the deal. When Vegas had their runs there and going deep in the playoffs, especially in the first year, but they had the 3 year, three years. He was an incredible playoff performer. In the first season when they went to the final, I would have put him right behind Marchessault and Carlson for just dominating the game offensively. And he also got some penalty minutes, so he was tough, and he got to, I think, 6 goals in the first playoff run for them. You know, he's been basically a point to every second game in the playoffs for them when he was a second line guy, if you will. And I just think if he could stay healthy for us, because of course he has had some injury problems over this short career. You know, if he was healthy in that run that we had when we were on the run, he got injured at a very critical time of our season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 99% sure we would have got that point, or those 2 points, I should say, to get across the hurdle over Florida, because he is that important and becoming more so. And as I say, just a big, awesome, skating, smart, dominant player, and I just love him.
Absolutely. Bill's speaking my language here, by the way. And that's the Tuck injury towards the end of the season. I fully agree with Bill's point of if Tuck doesn't go down, I think they do get those 2 points to get in. I think absolutely. And I talked about it, you know, the 8-game losing streak early in the season with Matias Samuelsson going down and how, you know, that caused a ton of issues for the team. I mean, of course, they lost 8 straight. They were not prepared for Samuelsson to go down. And
it really
to be fair, up until the end of the season, they had incredible injury luck of no one getting hurt.
It really showed, though, how much Samuelsson means to this team, which it's hilarious because a couple years ago,
Do we know who he was?
Right.
He came on in the second half of not last season, but the season prior.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And was just this stalwart, like, hey, I'm not an offensive defenseman.
Rasmus,
stay at home.
Go do what you want to do because I got this. Like, I'm right here.
I mean, we're effectively now looking for the Samuelsson to Power.
Yes.
Where it's like, so Power can just be his guy and all that stuff.
I don't think they're going to find a young guy like that. It's definitely going to be a veteran.
Which
is fine, because then you just draft a young guy and just wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
On Alex Tuck's playoff numbers, that first season in Vegas.
Oh, it was crazy.
20 games played. He did score 10 points, 6 goals, 4 assists. He was 21 years old,
It's not the amount of points. It was I remember watching that playoff run vividly, mm-hmm. because like I said, I was a huge Vegas fan when they came out of the gate and they were just winning all the time. I love the jersey, love the vibe, everything. And I remember watching those playoff series or that playoff run that they had, and every one of Tuck's points, like I said, there's only 10 out of 20, but they were all like at the most important time. Like,
That's how I remember it too.
They were always in the clutch moments where you needed a goal, you needed a good pass to set up a goal. Like, he was just so explosive.
Didn't realize he has 66 playoff games played.
Mm-hmm.
We joke about not many people have playoff experience really outside of Tuck, which I think is actually like absolutely no. Oposo has some playoff experience.
Oposo does, but that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. But, like, Tuck actually has some, like, he's gone on deep playoff runs. He has scored points. He's plus 11 in those 66 games, 33 total points. And that was for the early part of his career where he was not one of their top line guys. He was their young guy trying to kind of find his groove. And in 2019-2020, he had 20 games played, 8 goals, 4 assists for 12 points. And then in 2021, 19 games played and 9 points scored. He's been very consistent there, though.
If we want to get really technical, Ilya Lyubushkin and Riley Stillman have playoff games.
I love Lyubushkin, and Gummy Bear is phenomenal. I'm not going
to
do it.
I need him to score a goal at home before he changes his goal song. Like, I was thinking about that the other day. I really wonder who's going to change their goal songs this coming season. Obviously, it's a very trivial part of the game, mm-hmm. but I love it. It's my favorite thing they've introduced over the past couple of years. I think the Capitals were the first team to really
do
it.
I think so, yeah.
And then everyone else just latched on. And the Sabres just, every year, it's bangers. It's so much fun. Like, just to listen to the playlist of all their goal songs.
Yeah.
And if Lyubushkin changes his goal song, I'm going to be very upset because he hasn't scored a goal at home.
No, which has been the whole thing. Which has been the whole thing is that we want that overtime goal though.
That was
awesome.
Imprinted
that
in my memory.
Real quick, I did put it to Twitter as well. With the Sabres seemingly being loaded with young talent, who do you think is the odd man out in a potential big-time trade? We've got a few responses. Joseph tweeted in, he has two guys. One, Olofsson. And I kind of like that some people are throwing this in at not just young guys, but Olofsson, number one. Two, Peyton Krebs. I think that's been the prevailing answer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Olofsson, though, I think especially with Olofsson, he's in an odd spot where there's a young guy who's maybe the most exciting young guy the Sabres have.
He's not even young anymore. Okay.
Olofsson's what, 27?
27. Let's preface this by saying this Sabres team, the average age of forwards is 26.
Yeah. So, and that's mainly because of Kyle Okposo.
Yeah, mainly.
And like Alex Tuch. And Skinner, actually.
Tuch is
27.
27 as well. Okay.
So it's mainly Skinner and Okposo that are kind of messing with the age a little bit there.
Right. But when we say young guys, we're talking under 25.
Yeah.
Or 25.
Really starting their career, getting the first few years under them.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, other than guys like Jack Eichel, Connor McDavid, there's nobody on the Sabres, and there's nobody really in the league that comes in at 18, unless you're a top 10 draft pick.
Yeah. If not even top 10, I'd now say like top 5.
Top 5, top 3, yeah.
Depending on said draft class.
Right. Exactly. So when we're saying young here, it's you're in your second or third year in the NHL.
Yeah.
With Victor Olofsson, it's a little different because he came into the NHL a little later than most.
How old was he, like 24? I feel like he was on the older end when he first came
in. His first season was 2018-19, and he only played 6 games.
I don't count that.
So his first season was 2019-2020, where he had, you know, 54 games played, 42 points. He had those 20 goals. He was really good with Jack and
Reinhardt. Came right out of the gate, really. It was a power play specialist for the Sabres.
Right.
That was a big thing. He was 24 that season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So technically you could say, you know, this is his third year in the league, which it is, but I don't know. I don't see a path for him.
I don't either, because the young guy who seemingly is him, but better in most aspects,
Kulik,
is Jiří Kulik, and it seems like he is the guy that just, he's going to be here next year.
Well, I still remember.
And Olofsson got to a point last year, he did score 28 goals.
Mm-hmm.
But when he wasn't scoring, which turned out to be kind of quite often at times,
he was invisible.
He did nothing mm-hmm. else. He was a complete turnstile out there at times as well.
Right.
And that was the difficult part is there's no playmaking there.
Yeah.
I'm here to score goals and not too much else.
If he would have gotten more assists, I think he's more
I'm assuming you have his Hockey Reference page up. Do you know how many assists he had last year?
12.
Yeah, 12. That's not good.
Compared to 29 the year before.
Like, I think the thing is, if he put up the 28 goals to 29 assists again,
one, I think the Sabres are a playoff team.
That's
because think about it. That's 15 more goals.
Yeah.
No, it's 15 more goals. But I mean, I don't know if those. It depends on where those 15 more goals came.
It does.
If you score two of them in a 8-1 blowout or something like that, then it doesn't really matter. But if you know what I mean. Like you have to put it in the right frame of reference of like, okay, if you add 15 goals to this roster or to this season,
mm-hmm.
where are they? Because it's not always going to change the outcome of a game.
I was going to say, because it could be a part of a blowout where it's like, cool, and so instead of winning 7-2, they win 8-2.
Yeah, or it could be the reverse of a blowout where instead of losing 8-1, they lose 8-2.
Exactly. So it's like, it's not always going to be meaning wins.
Right, but at the same time, if he's more consistent and if he's just has a second aspect to his game. Because at this point, all I see him as is a scorer or a shooter. And like you said, Kulik is that, but better.
Yeah.
And that's not discounting Olofsson, because like I said, he...
Oh, someone is going to fall in love with Olofsson in this league. Are you serious?
Right. There are going to be
teams that
want
his... With the way the old boys club rolls in the NHL, they're going to see 20 goals and go, first round pick. Rasmus Ristolainen got a first round pick.
He got a lot more than a first round pick.
He was most useless defenseman in hockey, but he was 6'5".
Right. Statistically and visually. It wasn't even just like, you know, all the numbers people were saying, wow, yeah, he's really bad. Everyone was like,
I guarantee an Olofsson trade that potentially could happen will stun people in like Wait, the Sabres got that for Victor Olofsson?
The only thing I could see where it hamper the price is he's a free agent at the end of next season.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And I really wonder, so I think, because after July 1st, the Sabres can offer contracts to anyone that has 1 year remaining on their deal. So after July 1st, the Sabres can offer contracts to Victor Olofsson, Casey Mittelstadt, Kyle Okposo, Peyton Krebs, Rasmus Dahlin,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of defensemen, Owen Power, Henry Jokiharju, Jacob Bryson, Riley Stillman, Ilya Labushkin, and then goalies, we have Eric Comrie and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I know it's a lot of names right there, but the big ones to focus on where to really see how this team's going to shape themselves going forward. Obviously, Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin, they're going to sign them. Maybe it won't be July 1st. Maybe it'll be more like but right before the season kind of sort of thing.
But I think we're all kind of expecting that to be done.
Yeah, those two will be done, I think, much closer to now than next year's free agent deadline.
I would agree with that.
Guys like Comrie and Luukkonen, that's going to be interesting to see what they do if they offer them anything this summer.
I mean the whole goaltending room.
Right, that's a whole other animal. But the guy, if we're talking forwards and where prospects are going to slide in, like Kulik, Rosen,
Savoy,
Rusek, guys to focus on where if they get re-signed in general are Tyson Yost, Zemgus Girgensons, and Vinny Hinostroza, and then the guys that have 1 year left next year,
mm-hmm.
Peyton Krebs, Casey Mittelstadt, Victor Olofsson. Those are the six guys that are going to be the most influential on this lineup in the next contract-wise and placement-wise in the next 2 years. Those are going to be those six guys are going to be very influential on that forward group.
It's an interesting time to be a Sabres fan. We're going to take a quick timeout. We are taking your calls, 803-0550. Who is the odd man out for the Sabres, at least the young core? If you also think someone like Victor Olofsson as well can be traded or can be a part of a big game trade, we'll also love to hear from you on that. Coming up in about 15 minutes, though, Matt Perino, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com and host of the Shout Podcast, will join the show at 1 to talk more on the Bills OTAs, which started this week. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. You're listening to WGR.
Back the other way comes Dahlin. He'll drop it back. Krebs across. Scores! Victor Golovsin in overtime.
Well, and now I feel bad.
Win it 6-5 with 18.3 seconds left in the extra period.
Victor Olofsson and Peyton Krebs a part of that goal.
Evan, any idea when that game was from? Does it say on the highlight there?
Yeah, it was the Minnesota game where it was like...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I knew a game it was immediately.
Oh, I forgot. That was such a good game.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Man,
I feel bad.
This is what you were saying, though. They're such a likable group that you can't feasibly think about trading any of them or losing any of them because you don't want to.
I mean, I've talked to just on Peyton Krebs. I've loved that he's like adopted like this Jeff Skinner personality of like, but I'm going to cause problems for everybody.
He's like, hey, I can't score as much as Jeff Skinner does, but I'm going to cause more problems.
Olofsson is more out the door in my opinion because of his cold stretches that he has had during the season. Now Krebs, I think the jury's still out on him.
Oh, you can absolutely just be like, yeah, he's 21. Like, there's still time to grow.
He could be a good third-line center for this team.
His biggest problem, though, there's no scoring touch. We're still looking for that scoring touch. Casey Mittelstadt was kind of that before him, where we knew the passing and playmaking was there. It wasn't consistent, but you knew it was there. And then he picked up the scoring touch at the end of last season, where you're like, oh, okay,
like
cool.
I said before, I wonder if it's just like where they're playing him.
I think it's definitely a big part of it.
You know what I mean? Because he, again, it's not that he's being played in the wrong, he's not being played the wrong way. It's not like Jeff Skinner, Ralph Kruger here. I'm sorry I had to put those two together in a sentence on
the
air.
Where he's on the bottom line.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's like, what is happening?
It is the exact opposite of that. It's he's needed where he is, but it might not be the best for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's great where he is, but I think he can be better in a different position in the lineup.
But this is where there's a bit of a logjam of there's so much young talent. It's like you can't feasibly unless Krebs is absolutely outplaying certain players.
Right.
You can't do it without like, becomes one of those where it's like it's either favoritism and I'm not saying there is that, but all of a sudden it becomes like we're focusing on just one guy where you got to focus on the whole team.
Right.
And there are guys that are just simply better than him.
And I think this is very, very far in the future and this is a big brain idea here, but you see Jeff Skinner, 31.
Mm-hmm.
He's not necessarily anywhere near the end of his career, but eventually he's going to start regressing, But I think it's the perfect timing where a guy like Jack Quinn or J.J. Paterka or even Jiří Kulík, they're going to be massive step forward by the time Skinner starts regressing a little bit. And it's going to be a very natural switch. Skinner will still be on the team. Skinner will be, you know, second line guy. And a guy like Quinn or Paterka or Kulík can step
all
up
of a sudden
into that
take
first
that
line.
Spot and you're like,
and
perfect.
Like I said, that is miles down the road. It's no, like, it's not next season.
But
it's not even the year after that. But it's the, you can see the vision of this management group, which is something that the Sabres and we as fans haven't been able to see in a very long time.
Well, they had as bad a vision as I have.
What's your prescription?
Awful. I can't see anything without my glasses.
If I take out my contacts, for those listening, my computer is maybe like 2.5 feet in front of me. I wouldn't be able to read the words on the screen.
That's not good.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad. Really good that you didn't forget your contacts. Oh, I can't legally drive without my glasses on, so that's good.
I think I could attempt it, but it'd be very scary.
I can't even read this screen that's right in front of me without my glasses
on. That's how I am too.
So glad that we're all blind.
But regardless, back to the point. Like I said, you can really see the vision that the management group has with Adams and Karmanos and Ventura and Granato and all those guys. It's so different. And I love it.
Absolutely. So. Going to take another quick timeout here. On the other side, we're going to flip things over to football. We got Matt Parrino, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com and the host of the Shout podcast, coming up next to talk Bills OTAs that started this week. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.